9:40 a.m. Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Wendy Gillette in New York. Millions in Florida are preparing for Tropical Storm Idalia. CBS News correspondent Christian Benavides from Tampa.
Automatic sandbagging machines are running around the clock in Tampa, Florida. All along Florida's Gulf Coast, hurricane watches are up as Idalia nears.
So we're prepping and hoping for the best.
Life-threatening storm surge and hurricane-force winds could arrive as early as Tuesday, and the storm's predicted to make landfall Wednesday north of Tampa.
But anything that wobbles with this storm could change that. So pretty much anybody on the west coast of Florida, I mean, you can see major impact.
A shelter-in-place order is lifted at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, after a shooting. Officials just said at a news conference a faculty member was killed. A judge has set March 4th as the trial date for former President Donald Trump's federal election interference case. CBS's Major Garrett on the political implications of what will play out in the courtroom.
All that bluster on the outside that works politically has no purchase inside a courtroom. It's not allowed. It's not part of evidence. It's not part of the facts. It's not part of the law. And the world shrinks around defendants then. What's going to be the great question for former President Trump and Republicans who still admire and want to support him is, does that process of getting smaller and the limitations imposed by actual court procedures change their view of the law, of him, and his political potency in 2024? That, to me, is the great variable of this political season.
Trump's former White House chief of staff, Mark Meadows, took the witness stand in court, asking a judge to move his charges in the Georgia election interference case to federal court. The man known as Joe the Plumber during the 2008 presidential campaign has died. This was him questioning candidate Barack Obama about his tax plan in Toledo, Ohio.
My name is Joe Wurzelbach.
What is it, Joe?
I'm getting ready to buy a company that makes $250,000 a year.
All right.
Your new tax plan is going to tax me more, isn't it?
He was 49 years old. There's growing concern about COVID for some as children head back to school amid rising cases. White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre.
We know that COVID-19 vaccinations are the safest to protection for avoiding hospitalization, long-term health outcomes, and death. And that is why we are going to continue to encourage Americans to stay up to date on their vaccines.
On Wall Street, stocks gained. The Dow added 213 points. The S&P finished 27 points higher. This is CBS News.
When you think of hiring, think of Indeed. Their end-to-end hiring system helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. A family of four and a pet were able to get out of a fire in a New Berlin home this morning. It happened in a neighborhood near I-43 and Racine Avenue with the smoke visible from Milwaukee. A firefighter suffered smoke inhalation and was taken to the hospital. The Rosebud Cinema in Wauwatosa could experience a potential revival.
The city has a meeting next month to explore the possibility of revitalizing the theater as a community initiative. Following its closure due to the COVID-19 pandemic, the theater remains shut with no intentions to resume operations. Atosa Alderman envisions the theater being reborn through community backing. Pichwava, Civic Media News.
A problem at the Imagination Station playground in Oconomowoc has been exterminated. The park is back open. Last week, city officials closed the play area after a mouse and a burrow hole were found inside the rubber ground. With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898. But 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And apparently, Maggie Dawn, Fig Newton lover of the Maggie Dawn Show.
I was so offended, Jane. You know how much I love and admire you. You're like my freaking radio hero. And then to hear you bash my Newton.
It's still bad.
You want the cakey part cakey. You want the jammy part jammy. That is like bringing me back.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. It's never personal, only politics. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show with Dom and Crute. Weekdays from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
And I stumble to the kitchen, pour myself a cup of ambition, and yawn and stretch and try to come to life. Jump in the shower and the blood starts pumping. Out on the streets the traffic starts jumping, with folks like me on the job from 9 to 5. Working 9 to 5, what a way to make.
What's up, everybody? I'm Maggie Dawn.
Getting by.
That's Dolly Parton, national gem, the conscience of America. So let's talk about our conscience. Because to paraphrase the Who, but their schemes, they aren't empty. Certainly not as their consciences seem to be. I'll just say it. Donald Trump and Ron DeSantis are morally accountable and responsible for the shooting at the Jacksonville Dollar Store. The three people that died, and the shooter that took his own life. Those lives are on Donald Trump and Ron DeSantis. My question to you is, what does this mean for you in Wisconsin? How do you see this hate speech playing out in Wisconsin? And I've had prepping for a while, and I'm not there yet. I will do a show on all of the crazy stuff that is happening in Wisconsin public schools and the school boards and the book banning and the let's be sure that LGBTQ plus kids don't feel safe in our schools. Let's be sure that we don't have safe space signs, that we don't have rainbows up. Let's ban a Dolly Parton song. Let's not sing that. We'll talk about that because that's all day long. That's a whole show and a half. That might be a week's worth of shows because the amount of time that's getting spent in the state of Wisconsin is disgusting on this. But I'm talking about specifically racial violence. And there's a term that has started to be used, and I want to introduce everyone to it today. The term is called stochastic terrorism. I'm going to say that again, stochastic terrorism. And what stochastic terrorism is the public demonization of an individual or group resulting in the incitement of a violent act, which is statistically probable, but whose specifics cannot be predicted. What do I mean? I mean that when Ron DeSantis says that we don't need to worry about Black history, that slavery was actually good for slaves. When Ron DeSantis and Donald Trump deny the humanity of immigrants and Greg Abbott and nearly every GOP governor, when you deny the humanity of immigrants and people of color, that violence against these groups is certain. It has been a certitude throughout our entire nation's history, but the certitude, the acuteness, the frequency of violence, racially based, racially motivated violence in this country is greater now than it has been in decades. Don't tell me that this guy didn't shoot up the dollar store on the 60th anniversary of Dr. King's I Have a Dream speech by accident. Vilifying CRT, vilifying asking students to think critically how race affects people's day-to-day lives in this country is stochastic terrorism. It is hate speech that will have a violent result. We are seeing it in our country every day. Giving aid and comfort to our nation's enemies, and our nation's enemies include neo-Nazis. They include evangelical nationalist Christians. By saying there are good people on that side too. No, those that trade in racial hate, who believe that white people are somehow, for some reason, better than other people, are our nation's enemies. And Ron DeSantis and Donald Trump and Greg Abbott and every single one of these GOP governors and leaders that continue to vilify giving a crap about people who are different than you are terrorists. How does this affect you and your family in Wisconsin? Or if you're listening outside of this state, how is it affecting you and your family in other places? Because I don't care if you're in a purple state, a red state, or a blue state. It just takes one gunman. Stochastic terrorism. It's using the language of othering, of dehumanizing people based on race or other demographic information that you know will result in violence. And the language of the GOP today, as controlled by the MAGA right, is language of racial and identity violence. I don't need you to be woke, but I need you to stop putting language out there that is inciting violence against people for who they are. We are seeing the impacts of this every day. If you are a white person, have you asked your friends who are not white if their day-to-day lived experiences are better now, or were they better before Donald Trump rode down the golden escalator? Because I'll tell you what the answer is when I talk to people of color that I know. It's worse now. They are more afraid. We spent a week talking about why the Jason Aldean song and why what Ron DeSantis is doing to education in the state of Florida, why the criminal charge against Donald Trump that sprung from the Civil War, that was used for the first time in the 60s to protect black voters against white violence, that all of these things are a piece, and yet again, here we are. Racially motivated random killings, killing people for no reason except that they're black. It shouldn't be this way, and it shouldn't be acceptable for people like Ron DeSantis, Greg Abbott, and Donald Trump to have a microphone in front of their face when they say things like this. We've seen another manifestation of stochastic terrorism. On August 11th, a small town newspaper was raided by their local police, their computers, their reporters' notes, the entirety of their materials that they used to publish a paper was seized by a local police department. Do you really think that would have happened in a pre-Donald Trump era? No, it wouldn't have. These two things, these two extraordinarily upsetting and disturbing examples of the terrorism that Donald Trump, Ron DeSantis, Greg Abbott, and their ilk trade in. These are the results. The police being marshaled to persecute a paper illegally, to stop the operation of the free press in this small town. A random shooting only because of people's color. These are the predictable, the certain results of the language of the GOP today. Language which goes unchecked, language which is excused, language which is tolerated and embraced because it motivates the base. Yeah, it motivates the base, the basest of our instincts, the most disgusting elements of American society. And it is accepted. Donald Trump has called the media the enemy of the people. He's called and told his supporters and followers, his cult, that the media doesn't really like America. He said that they are dishonest people. And then you put down dot, dot, dot. And the police on August 7th raided the paper of a small Kansas town of 2,000 who were, you know, incidentally investigating a police chief. I wonder if that has anything to do with what might have happened. And when you look to the courts to stop this, it's a loss. We cannot be looking to the justice system for justice. We will be disappointed. I have never in my entire life as a lawyer felt so overwhelmed, so impotent to effect the change that I wish to see in this world. Because when you have to resort to the courts to try to ensure that people don't kill other people because they're Black or Sikh or Muslim or Asian or female or trans, it is too late because the violence has already happened. The dead people cannot be brought back. The trauma and the harm cannot be undone. The justice is what we make. For my conservative listeners, the justice is when you say to your elected officials and the leaders of the GOP in this state and elsewhere, stop targeting DEI programs. It's not the point. Stop villainizing people who seek equity, equality, and justice. Because it is that language which is traded in by Robin Voss, albeit in different dog whistling types of words. It is all of a piece. Robin Voss is the extension of DeSantis and Abbott and Trump. They won't fund certain colleges at the University of Wisconsin-Madison because he wants to extort them into getting rid of DEI programs? You racist, you stochastic terrorist. Yeah, I'm talking about you, Robin Voss. It is up to every conservative voter in this state with their votes to say no more. I will not vote for an elected candidate and a candidate for elected office that villainizes other people because of their race. I will not do it any longer. The time is now. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show. Join the conversation. How is this affecting your family? 844-967-2789. We'll be back with more in a moment.
Kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west, northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898, but 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Mainly clear tonight with lows around 59. Winds out of the south, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Tomorrow, chance for scattered storms. Highs around 77. Lows dip down to about 49. Tomorrow night, mainly clear skies. Upper 60s Wednesday. Warmer on Thursday with highs in the mid-70s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 75 degrees.
Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM. Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM. This is The Shaw, WAUK.
Welcome back. I'm Maggie. This is the Maggie Dawn Show. I'm here with Anya in the booth. And I am having a hard time. It's not just the shooting this weekend. It's the audaciousness of the hate. Barack Obama wrote a book called The Audacity of Hope. Trump is defined by the audacity of the hate. He has weaponized hate in a way and in a brazenness that we haven't seen in so long in this country. And now the wannabe Trumps, the DeSantises, the Ramaswamis, are trading in and trading on the weaponization of hate. Dana from La Crosse says they're fascists. Say it. Yeah, they are. But it's not just the fascism, right? We've seen fascism before. This is fascism on steroids. It's fascism as outcome achieved through the weaponization of othering, achieved through the weaponization of hate. Embracing difference is now the problem? I get upset a lot, but this, the disgustingness, the certainty of these outcomes, people. You can't continue to put this out into the ephemera and not think that very bad things are going to happen. Of course, Trump labeling Mexican immigrants as rapists and murderers and drug dealers, and Giuliani referring to the two election workers from Georgia as if they are drug dealers. Trading on the oldest of all racial tropes that have ever existed in this country. You cannot then stand around and condemn the violence that is the natural result of your words. Ron DeSantis showed up at the vigil in Jacksonville, Florida, for these victims of the racial hatred that he helped sow. How dare you, sir? El Paso, Texas, 2019, a mass murderer targeting immigrants and Latinos killed 23 people. And this continues to be a platform in the GOP? Mike Pence, you want to show moral leadership? You want to prove you're a Christian? Then condemn those that weaponize hate. It's not enough to say, I did my constitutional duty on January 6th. Yeah, that was the minimum. That gets you a C. That doesn't get you the presidency, sir. Moral leadership, the moral clarity that Nikki Haley spoke of, that requires condemning those that trade and benefit from the racism and hate that they sow. Mike and Madison, thank you for your text. What did Trump call COVID-19? The Kung Flu, the China virus. What was the result? Like 1,000% rise in hate crimes against Asian Americans. There were several murders of Asian people, several attempted murders of Asian people across the country. The statistic by one of the research organizations that tracks this is that over 9,000 post-pandemic anti-Asian hate instances were recorded by the summer of 21. It's 23. Let's just assume that number's doubled now, shall we? You cannot defend the rhetoric. And now it's about trans people and gay people. So let's recap here, okay? If you're a person of color, you deserve GOP hate. If you're a woman who wants an abortion, a woman who wants birth control on demand, a woman who wants to control her body, it's okay for the GOP to hate you. If you're an immigrant, we get to hate you. If you're Asian, we get to hate you. And when we say hate, we mean that we're going to have that guy in his basement living with his parents who can buy an AR-15 even though he was involuntarily committed in 2017. Yeah, he can buy that gun legally, show up at the dollar store that you're shopping at and kill you. Because it's to our political advantage as the Republican Party to hate certain groups of people. Who do you think you are? Let's not wait for the justice system. It will not give us justice. What we have is our vote and our voice. Moms for liberties, moms for hate. I know you. I see you. I know who you are. I'm coming for you. I am coming for your hate, and until you stop using it to impose your beliefs on others, to cause violence against people who don't look like you, who don't think like you, who aren't you, I will keep coming for you. My name is Maggie Dawn. We'll be back with more. I want to get into the detail of the police raid on the paper and the detail of the assassinations in Jacksonville when we come back.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. On The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. Tropical storm Idalia is picking up strength as it heads to Florida's west coast. It's forecast to hit Wednesday as a major hurricane. Tampa Airport's John Tillicos says flights will halt at midnight until the storm passes.
Safety is paramount, and we have to ensure that we're protecting our employees and airport infrastructure that could be damaged by wind or water.
Officials just held a news conference after a shelter in place was issued at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, because of a shooting. Chancellor Kevin Guskovitz.
I'm grieved to report that one of our faculty members was killed in this shooting.
A suspect has been arrested. A trial date is set in former President Trump's federal election interference case. CBS's Major Garrett.
So this trial date of March 4th, if it holds, may not have the political impact it appears looking at it abstractly right now.
CBS News Brief, I'm Wendy Gillette.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. A Wauwatosa police officer has been charged with second offense OWI following an incident last month in Waupun. Charges against Sergeant Kyle Strands were filed in Dodge County. Police say during the incident, an 11-year-old was injured after running in front of Strands' car. According to investigators, Strands showed signs of impairment, declined a breath test at the scene, and later underwent a blood test, which indicated a blood alcohol content of 0.236. The student body swells at UW-Milwaukee starting tomorrow. It's move-in day at residence halls for about 3,900 students. It's the first time in 3 years that all four residence halls will be open due to COVID and renovations. The changes include the installation of new kitchenettes, upgraded elevators, and the addition of more accessible rooms. With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
If you're a motorist of the four-wheel variety, please watch out for those of us in Wisconsin who do their traveling on two wheels. Adjust your mirrors to reduce your blind spots. Allow motorcyclists a full lane width. Use your turn signal when merging or changing lanes. And allow more following distance between you and the motorcycle. Motorists and motorcyclists can work together to achieve zero preventable deaths on Wisconsin roads. Zero in Wisconsin. Together we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov.
Sponsored by Wisconsin DOT.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west-northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898, but 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network. You are listening to your local Civic Media Radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. You can always get the app so you can hear us crystal clear wherever you're at. From your favorite app store, you can call or text us with one touch. Today, I'm talking about the fact that what seems to be the prevailing brand of the Republican Party these days, which is vilifying certain groups of people, has an obvious and knowable conclusion, and that is violence against these groups of people. I mentioned the shooting in 2019, a mass murderer targeting Latinos at a Walmart in El Paso, Texas. I mentioned, of course, the shooting this weekend in Jacksonville, Florida, targeting Black people. But let's not forget the Tree of Life Synagogue. Let's not forget the Capitol Gazette shooting targeting the media. And what I don't want to hear when I go to the phones is anyone who dares to equate accountability for those who trade in hate speech with hate itself. Don't you dare do that on this show. Because calling out racism and hate and holding the Republican Party accountable is not itself hate. It is accountability for the consequences of their rhetoric. That is the accountability that we all deserve. We're going to go to the phones. Vicky from Burlington, thank you so much for calling. You're on the Maggie Dawn Show.
Hi, Maggie. I want to thank you so much for your passion on this subject, because this bigotry and hatred is objectively worse. Since Trump came in office. But the reason I was calling is, in case some of the audience doesn't know, you know, this Dollar General shooter didn't start there. He went to Edward Waters University, which is a historically black university, with those guns and the intention to shoot up a bunch of students on the Saturday before classes start. But the security guard would not let him in because he couldn't identify himself. So he calmly got in his car and went to the Dollar General. So thank God for those security guards, because he could have murdered hundreds or thousands of people. So it's a big deal. It's objectively worse. And if anyone's going to call and equate that also, I don't want to hear about Chicago and drug wars and shooting over. The whole drug thing is a huge business. And it's completely separate from the hate that the GOP intentionally drove in order to divide us as a people. And it's a terrible way to live. So I want to thank you so much for this, Maggie, very much.
You're welcome, Vicky. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. And I've only heard white people ever do this. But what about black people that kill black people? Yeah, that's not the topic. It's also completely beside the point. Has nothing to do with what we're talking about. We're talking about people killed because of who they are. People who live some portions of their life when they're around white people in fear. The Tree of Life Synagogue, these were people praying. The shooting that happened at black churches in Charlottesville. Joanne from Madison, you're up next. You're on the Maggie Dawn Show.
Thank you for taking my call. Your insights are amazing. I'm just going to add one more. I'm wondering about all of the international voices that we should be hearing more of in our media. We're being begged by people in countries around the world, from Europe, from Australia, just everywhere, to reassess ourselves as a nation, to be thinking about where we're going in terms of authoritarian politics and, of course, the inappropriate use of violence. When I did my little traveling and all of that, I've given some conferences in Australia. I was like a rock star. People would come up to me and say, please tell people in America what they're doing is wrong, focusing on guns and hatred and authoritarian figures such as Trump. And those voices are good ones to listen to. We need perspective in the United States, as well as your own voice, which is amazing and incredible and useful and all that. But we need to hear, because authoritarian instincts again took many countries in Europe in a wrong direction through World War II, and they have personal experience with all of this. We need to listen. So thank you again.
Thank you, Joanne. Yeah, it's very interesting. I have lived abroad. I have friends that live abroad. I hear those same questions. And yet we know that hate, racial hate, xenophobia, otherization, yeah, that is an exportable commodity, isn't it? Wow. Since Donald Trump, we look at hate crimes worldwide. They're up. Authoritarian and totalitarian adjacent leaders in many Western European countries. There is now the rise of the right in Germany, in France, in Italy, in England, in Poland. You want to know where it is absolutely every day not safe to be a LGBTQ person? Poland.
As a queer person who's traveled to Poland, I'm just going to echo that. Yeah. Yeah. Seriously.
Very scary.
Yeah.
And our country, if you want to be the shining light on the hill, you got to stand up when it comes to this stuff. Joanne's 150% right. And here's what. There's a few things in Western Europe, even if they denounce racism, even if they don't have racism in the way that we have it here, there is incredible xenophobia. There's incredible demonization of immigrants. And guess what else remains totally acceptable in Europe? Misogyny. We need only look to the World Cup. And the Women's World Cup. I'm ticked off. The head of Spain's soccer federation thought it acceptable to kiss one of the Spanish soccer players on the mouth. When she objected, the Spanish Soccer Federation called her a liar. And they refused to condemn the actions of this coach and head of the Spanish Soccer Federation. That's a tiny example. I could riff on Berlusconi in Italy. I could riff on the head of the IMF who raped a housekeeper in a hotel in Manhattan and got away with it. I could riff on a lot of Me Too moments that go around all over Europe where the assumption is still women are sexual objects and it's fine if we treat them like that regardless of circumstance. Words have consequences. And blaming our broken mental health system is an excuse because you know the people that will consume your words include those who are struggling mentally. It's stochastic terrorism. CJ, is he still there? I'll give him some time. CJ, let's try to keep it above the line. You're on the Maggie Dawn Show.
Thanks, Maggie. Well, I know you put pre-qualifiers there, but when you misrepresent what Republicans believe in, it's very disappointing.
CJ, I want to give you. I want to have a discussion with you. So you've said that I've misrepresented. Have I misquoted anything that Donald Trump has said? Have I misquoted Ron DeSantis's positions or misrepresented his positions on CRT and DEI and B programs? Have I misrepresented Robin Voss's stance on DEI programs? Is any of that wrong?
Yes, it is.
What's wrong? What about the facts is wrong?
How about, can I give you a fact? AP News, December 19th, 2019. Trump signs bill restoring funding for historical black colleges at records amount.
Yeah, that's beside the point. CJ, because you don't get to cherry pick. You don't get to say, oh, well, Trump signed a thing that helps fund HBCUs, but he trades in racism and overt hate speech all the rest of the time. We have to deal with the man as a whole, not in segmented parts.
That's what you do about everything, Maggie, is segmented parts. That's why you won't look at this. So let me throw on
CJ, I'm looking at it with you. Are you really representing to me that Trump's brand is one of inclusivity, of racial harmony? Is that Trump's brand? Is that because he signed the HBCU bill? Are you representing to me that that's what Trump means when he says Mexicans are rapists and murderers? Is that racial? Is that promoting racial equity and harmony?
Come on, Maggie.
That's what the man said in Charlottesville. There's good people on both sides. Are neo-Nazis good people? CJ, are neo-Nazis good people?
You are, see, that's what I mean? You're pick and choose. Can we discuss it, or are you just going to throw jabs at me? I came back with
you. CJ, I want
you
to answer some of these questions, which is, do you think...
Okay, why are black men leaving the Democrat Party at record numbers because they're tired of the failed promises for 40 years that you folks have given them?
That has nothing to do with Trump's brand being racism. Tell me on the radio, CJ, I want you to make a representation. Is your argument to me that Trump's brand is one of racial harmony and unity?
He's America first, left just like the border.
America for who, CJ? America for who? There is no reasonable argument that can be made on my show that Trump is somehow about racial justice or racial harmony. That is laughable in the extreme, CJ.
Well, I believe in a man should be judged by the content of his character and not the color of his skin. And that's
Do not misquote selectively what the Reverend Dr. King said. That is one of the most disgusting, limited quotes that I hear white people trot out routinely. Dr. King never denied that black people are treated differently, not by the character of their or the content of their character. Don't quote that to me and make that argument until we have a system that treats us all according to the content of our character. When a white person has to fear for their lives, when they're pulled over just like a black person does, well, maybe that's a day that we can start arguing about the content of character. But no one in this country is treated the same based on their race. That's the problem. You're telling me what the objective is, CJ. But you're ignoring the fact that you walk through the world with the privilege of your whiteness and you deny that blackness or brownness or difference matters. Does the difference matter, CJ? Does a black person have a different experience in this country than does a white person?
You have to keep racism alive as a party. You have to, because that's...
I'm done. I'm not going to convince CJ, but I can also choose not to listen to it anymore. CJ, we're done for today. You can go ahead and hang up. When you talk about facts and reality, that is not racism. The denial of the difference that color makes in this country is the very epitome of racism. It is the denialism of the lived experiences of people who are not like you that allows racism to continue to grow, to expand its root system in this country. To not call out Donald Trump for what he is racism. Shame. I promised you some detail. I'm going to get there when we come back, but I want to leave with this. We got 20 seconds left, Anya. Michelle Carr, 52, AJ Laguerre, 29, and Gerald Deshaun Gellion, 19 years old. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west, northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898, but 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
A new head coach.
We got one objective and one goal, is to play for a championship.
A talented backfield.
Braylon Allen does it again!
And a defense that just...
Down he goes!
Won't...
Intercepted, he's gone!
Stop!
Another turnover forced!
Join us Saturday, September 2nd. It's the Badgers and Buffalo Bulls in Madison. Our coverage begins at 12:30 on your home for Wisconsin football.
WRJN, 1400 AM, 99.9 FM, Racine, and 98.1 FM.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
Lows dip down to about 59 tonight under mainly clear skies. Southerly winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Partly cloudy tomorrow. Chance for scattered storms. Highs around 77. Lows level off around 49 tomorrow night. Mainly clear. Bright sunshine expected Wednesday with daytime highs approaching 70. 76 Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 75 degrees.
Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw.
540 AM and 101.1 FM. WAUK.
Welcome back, everybody. Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. You've got one segment to join us and give your thoughts, 844-967-2789. One thing, if you've listened to me for a while, there's an area of discussion that I will cut callers off about. And it is when white people make assertions like, you're racist because you're talking about race. That is incredibly disrespectful to any person of color, immigrants, et cetera. And it's re-traumatizing in many ways. And so I don't permit it, for lack of a better word. I'll also say this, and Anya, you had a thought. I don't blame black folks and brown folks and immigrants for being really ticked off at the Democratic Party. They should be, because not enough work has been done.
Yeah. And what we were discussing in the break is just this feeling of, you know, as much as our country is a two-party system, like, people aren't. And the idea that the only exit from the Democratic Party is to head right, young man, is just not. I would identify myself as kind of someone who left the party 2016-ish when I started to be able to vote, but not because I went to the right. No, sir. I just kept going left. And yeah. I find it weird that that doesn't seem to cross people's mind as an option. I wonder why.
There's also an intersection of misogyny and religiosity that we see operating, particularly amongst Latinos and Latinx folks in Florida. There's been a big move, right? And folks that study this stuff kind of look to that as potentially explanatory as well. That's why the GOP hate brand is like, hey, anybody who's not a Christian, white, married, cisgendered person with land, you get hated. Troy from Mount Horeb, you're on the Maggie Dawn Show. What's up?
You know, another thing CJ said is that Democrats have to keep racism alive like it doesn't exist.
Right. Except for us talking about it. Of course, it would be gone.
You know, we're it wouldn't happen at all if you would just stop talking about it, please. You know, that just set me off when he said that, because racism exists whether we talk about it or not. And that's just a denial. It's ridiculous.
It truly is. Thanks for the call, Troy. I have a T-shirt that says something like, just because you haven't experienced something doesn't mean it's not real, right? Like, if you're a white person, you might be able to make an argument that, like, I don't see race. Well, you don't have to, because you're white. I think people are treated the same. How would you know? I mean, it's so silly. Thanks for the call, Troy. Good to hear from you. Mark from the SAC, you're on the Maggie Dawn Show. What's up?
Yeah, I can't help but think, is this kind of a new, expansive version of the Protocols of the Elders of Zion, just including more groups into the anti-Semitism that was all about? That it's apparently that rose in reaction to the liberalism that was kind of starting to seep its way into European society, where, and it was a reactionary move by the Orthodoxy and the conservatives that and the autocrats that wanted to maintain power and to get as much power as they could, because it just... It just is just horrifying that we have to recognize that, because now we have a new group name. We have the trans people to hate now, because a few years ago, you know, most people wouldn't even know what you're talking about if you mentioned trans. I mean, unless you'd heard of Christine Jorgensen back, you know, decades ago like I did, and kind of going, oh, that's interesting, and you just kind of let it go at that. I mean, it just is, you have to recognize that it's still a problem in this country. And unless you, and just recognizing it as a problem is not racist. Calling that problem out is not racist. I mean, and these clowns are complaining about DEI on campuses. Well, those are the same clowns that are whining about they're not getting enough recognition on campus. I mean, that.
As if all, like, 99.99999999999999% of jobs, money, property ownership, the history book writing, and all of that throughout all of humankind has not been dominated by white men. I mean, it's so ridiculous. What are you even talking about? White guys have always had it great. Like, it's just really in the span of human consciousness and history, like, tell me, when has the black trans woman really gotten it over on the white landowner man? Like, come on. It's just stupid. Thanks for the call, Mark. Tom from Madison, you're on the Maggie Dawn Show.
Oh, my God. You guys make me laugh. But poor CJ, he's so misunderstood, and he's such a victim. Maybe he should get together with Rodney Dangerfield and set up a little comedy show that no one really wants to hear about.
Yeah, I get no respect. No respect.
Later, bye.
Thanks much, Tom. Appreciate that. Yeah, white victimhood is a tale as old as time. Right? Vivek Ramaswamy is this thing. Reverse racism is racism. No, it's not. Racism, if you look it up and talk to anybody that actually knows anything about this stuff, which doesn't include CJ and his ilk or Robin Voss or Donald Trump or Ron DeSantis or Greg Abbott or Moms for Liberty, racism speaks to the systems of power and wealth that lock out people because of who they are, because of their race. It is the systematic oppression and keeping people who are not white out of the systems of power and wealth. That's what racism is. That can't be inverted on white people because white people have all the power and wealth. I'm sorry. How many black female trans senators do we have? Wait. I know the answer to this one. Let me think. Zero. That's the point. Someone can be racially biased against a white person. Sure, biases and prejudices exist, but the ism is about the system. And the system hasn't worked for women, people of color, immigrants, or the LGBTQ population in this country ever. Works much better for white women now. I'm a beneficiary of that system.
We did it.
Yeah.
You and me.
Yeah, inch by inch. It's why feminism problematic, right? Because it is served to produce greater wealth and power for white women, not for all women. CJ and I would probably agree that feminism not working well. Listen, I'll be back tomorrow. Yeah, we'll do some more talking about this stuff. But man, after this weekend, I just... It had to be an angry day today. Thanks so much for listening, everyone. Go out there and be the voice of justice in your neighborhoods. Don't let hate speech go unchecked. You are justice. I'm Maggie Dawn. This has been the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Network. Thanks so much for listening.
Saturdays and Sundays at 1, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturdays and Sundays at 1 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app. Pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3. Join the conversation. Get involved. The Todd Alba Show on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You're listening to The Shaw. WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.